Chapter 1. She opened her eyes and looked to the heavy February dawn. Shit. Christine Bancroft unfurled from the broken stuffed chair where she had slept under her wool coat. Her feet landed on the cold wood floor. She slumped forward, feeling for her handbag, then for the cigarettes inside. Man, it's freezing in here. She could see her breath. She focused on lighting her cigarette, the scratch of the match, the sudden flame. She looked for an ashtray, but found only empty beer cans and debris in the gloom and stench. The chair she had slept in reeked of old sweat, food grease, stale beer, and smoke. The nasty, braided rug by her feet reeked too. The chewed-up couch a few feet away reeked. The guy on the couch, who slept under a filthy blanket, breathed through his open mouth and gave off his own stink. She grabbed a beer can to ash, drew in more of the hot smoke. She tried to remember the guy's name. Maybe it was Stu. He worked at the Georgia Pacific Mill. She forgot what he said he did there. He was part of last night's freaking mess. It had begun when her friend Megan begged her to go with her to meet up with this guy, Jamie, when he got off his shift at midnight. She hadn't gone out with him yet, and she wanted Christine to come along, in case things got weird. Christine had figured, sure, help her friend out, maybe have some fun. She remembered Jamie. Last year, when she was a sophomore and he was a senior, kind of a redneck, but not really scary. Besides, she figured maybe he had a friend who was cool. They planned to meet Jamie at the arcade, the only place open at midnight that wasn't a bar. Christine had slipped out of her house after her mother had gone to work and Frank and the kids were asleep, like she'd done plenty of times before, and met Megan down at the 7-Eleven. The arcade was a hole. A bunch of loser kids hung out there looking to get loaded or laid, or looking for a place to crash. Even bigger losers were the old guys picking up kids, getting them loaded. By midnight, it was different. Most of the kids were gone, but a few remained who might need a place to crash for the night. Or the girls who might want to hook up with a guy getting off work. After midnight, the mill workers poured in, from Georgia Pacific and the Culbertson paper mills, just off their shifts, not yet 21 years old, with pints of schnapps in their coat pockets. Then the place lit up, or lit up as much as it was going to. It was still a hole, with a worn-out linoleum floor, scarred paneling, and fluorescent lights spazzing from the crumbly ceiling. A couple of video games, a couple pinball machines, two vending machines, and a jukebox were in the front room. In the back room were two ratty pool tables and benches along two walls. On any given weekend in 1987, the arcade was one of the liveliest places in Branford, Vermont, between midnight and 2 a.m. closing. By the time the two girls blew into the arcade, it was nearly empty. The police had just been by and the kids were gone, scattered into the night or taken away to their homes or the homeless shelter. A couple of dirtbags played pool in the back. The owner sat on a tall stool in the front room, paging through a tattered Car and Driver magazine. He nodded at the two who passed him to get a couple Cokes from the machine. Megan, with her brushed out hair, no hat, eyeliner, fashion jeans, heavy cologne. Christine wore an oversized wool coat that went past her knees, Lee jeans and sorrel boots, a handmade wool knit cap with tufts of her walnut brown hair feathered by her temples and out the back. A few minutes later, Jamie and a dozen other mill workers streamed in, and soon the two girls were chatting with a few of them.